Welcome to the From Ground to Great show, a business, aviation, and personal growth podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, and today we have Sienna, Rihanna, and Ariana on the set. So if you guys want to introduce yourselves, say your name, say what you're studying in school, and one thing you want the world to remember you by.
Okay.
So you can start. Yeah, we'll go clockwise.
So my name is Sienna Marie, and I am majoring in business administration currently. I'm a first year, and something that I want the world to remember me by is my heart and my love. So yas. Anyways, next.
My name is Rihanna Macy. I'm currently majoring in the same business administration, and one thing that I want the world to remember me by is my kindness and my love.
Yasified.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ariana Bretzida, and I am also a new business major. It is also my first year. And one thing I want the world to remember me by is my love and my art.
Mm. Yeah. Cool. Nice. I guess I'll go the same trend with you guys. So again, hi, I'm Daniel Ruiz Jimenez. I'm actually an aircraft maintenance major, and we all go to Sac City. And something I want the world to remember me by is that at least I changed someone's life. You know, like I made an impact on people and hopefully for the better. You know, my legacy will carry on or whatever that means.
Yes.
But really, I was thinking about this, and I really want to help start people create their own businesses and be able to not give them maybe capital if it's a really good idea. However, like maybe be a mentor to them or find ways where they can start on their own if they're just starting from scratch, like kind of building off ideas. Where it's not me exactly telling someone what to do, but having them kind of like guide them towards the right direction. So
very
yeah,
nice.
Yeah. Yeah. So how'd you guys think? So we're all in the same business class.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
we just finished
finals.
Yeah. How was that? How was you guys' overall experience in the class?
For me, it was really nice, because I wasn't originally a business major, but, I feel like I learned a lot of life lessons, so, and also the class was really helpful in terms of, like, gauging, like, okay, well, I have certain ideas I want for my future, so how can I get to that? And, like, for example, the book had some really good tips on, like, how to start, like, a small business or, you know, kind of like a guide, so that was really nice.
Definitely.
Yeah. It was really nice for me too. I would say that I met like many people that are all like business people, and I've never been in a business class or actually was surrounded by so much about business. So this class was kind of very like refreshing in a way, because it was a lot of new stuff. And while it was, like, hard for me to, like, attain all this new information, it was also kind of cool, like, learning something new.
Yeah, I think, like, since I just, like, came out of high school, it's, like, all the high school classes, like, a lot of people just, like, take them, like, you're supposed to take these specific classes. And there were no, like, business classes in high school, you know? So, like, being in this, like, the intro to business, it really, like, even though it was, like, a little challenging for me, I was like, this is something that I do want to learn, and this is something that, like, I know, like, will help me with what I want to create in the future. So I'm, like, I'm ready to be challenged, you know? And I'm also, like, being around so many, like, people with business minds, you know?
Yeah.
Or people who are, like, also have that same mindset that they want to, like, grow in business or they want to create their own businesses. It was really nice, and it made me happy because I was like, dang, like I didn't realize that I wasn't surrounded by these people in high school until I was put in an environment where I was like, damn, like, these people get me, like, or these people are trying to do the same thing, and it's like, I want to support them, and I know that they will support me because they're doing, like, the same thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely appreciated that. Going into college, I didn't really want to be honest. And definitely our business class is one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. I definitely felt like our professor wasn't really about grades, and he said mm-hmm. that a lot of times. Mm-hmm. He was like, the C students, or, you know, the A students are going to work for the C students, or whatever. So I kind of liked that mentality where basically he wanted to teach us some life lessons, some values, and some key takeaways so that we can build upon ourselves. I think he really wanted us more to kind of help create our own brand of ourselves and mm-hmm. what we want to represent ourselves as.
Yeah, and I really like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it all comes down to that at the end of the day, you know, like how you represent yourself and show yourself to the world. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, I think it's so important, and it's very rare to find a professor that isn't just all about the curriculum, you know?
Yeah.
Because he's like, well, if there's one thing I want you guys to learn, you know, it's like, doesn't have to be the curriculum, even though it's good. It's really about being able to get those kind of fundamentals down and kind of find the path of who you're going to be. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it was also really, like, inspiring, like, because everyone has, like, a kind of, like, wish fulfillment in that class, really. And it's, like, nice to hear what ideas people share for themselves. So it's like you can get a little bit of inspiration from everyone, you know? It's really nice.
Yeah. I remember when I was doing the presentation and I was like, who here wants to start a business? Raise your hand. A good majority of people wanted to or raise their hands, and I think that showed and a lot of the people that kind of put in like the work or I seem like, oh, like I'd want to be business partners with. Mm-hmm. Definitely also raised their hands, and I was like, oh, you know, like, that's dope. That's what we're here for, you know, really the connection and relationships that you have in class.
Yeah.
I wanted to bring up, so you were, Sianna, you wanted to, or you brought up that you wanted to create something of your own. Mm-hmm. So what ideas did you have in the process, or any half-baked ideas or anything? Yeah.
So actually, what I want to do with business is I want to, like, co-own a bakery with Rihanna.
Hi.
Yeah. And we want to have, like, a bakery that is inspired or, like, has some, like, Filipino fusion. Mm-hmm. And, and there's, like, a whole lot of other stuff that I want to include, like, about, like, what kind of bakery and stuff. But that's, like, basically, like, we want to own a bakery. But then also, like, I was thinking about, like, I just know that I want to own my own business and, like, be able to express my creativity through it. So when I was, like, when me and Rihanna were thinking about, like, what we wanted to do, because, like, we both want to own a business together, we were both like, oh, yeah, like, we want to make sure that, like, we're able to express, like, all of our creativity. And with the bakery, like, we both know that, like, we'll be able to, like, create new, like, or, like, unique pastries and foods that will attract communities and, like, Filipino people and just also, like, other people. And, but I was also, like, you know, like, if I do end up changing my mind, if I do end up thinking, like, maybe, like, baking isn't what I want to, like, own, like, I would still be, like, I would still want to own, like, some kind of business, either in, like, painting or, like, fashion or, like, making clothes, you know, like, any, like, or even, like, in dance, just, like, any way that I can, like, be, like, where I can, like, make my own business but still be able to, like, let my creativity shine. So, yeah.
So both of you guys can jump in. where do you think that drive comes from wanting to start your business?
I think it comes from the creative side that, like, that often gets pushed. Like, I feel like many people don't think about letting their creative flow, like, actually flow. Mm-hmm. And I feel like when we started being able to, like, express ourselves and being surrounded by people, like, our family and our friends who, like, support that, it was easy to, like, just express what was on our mind and, like, what without any restrictions, you know? So, like, I feel like that drive or that push just comes from a part of us that, like, wants to do something without like much restrictions, because mm-hmm. like I feel like going into like you can go into your dream job, like that's whatever your dream job is, like go for it. But I feel like for me personally, like I don't want to be put in a job that limits like my time to like create or like be creative or let that flow like still flow, you know. And I feel like that, just letting it, just allowing it to like happen, and just allowing yourself to just be in a state where there's no restrictions is what like makes us feel like good, and like what makes me feel like passionate about creating. Like it's just easy, I guess, but also like it's like, I don't know. It's, do you want to say something?
I agree with everything Rihanna said. And I also want to add I feel like it's also like, for me, it's like about creating and allowing myself to create, like what Rihanna said. But then also it's like, in the past, like our mom would always like be baking stuff, and like my grandma would always be baking stuff, and my mom learned how to bake from like her mom. And when my mom would bake, like she would always ask like, oh, like twins, do you want to like come help me or like chop up these like stuff? And like me and Rihanna would always be down. And then I feel like that, like, and also like my dad, he would always like cook like meals. Like both my parents love to cook and bake, so it's like they would always like cook meals and pastries, and like my mom would always experiment with like the things that she bakes. And so it kind of like inspired me. I was and she would also always tell us like, oh, whenever you're baking, like, or whenever you're cooking something, like do it with love. Like don't bake when you're like in an argument or something, or don't bake when you're like mad at your sisters, like do it with love. And I think that like that has always stuck with me, because I would want like in our future bakery, like I would want like the Filipino flavors to like come out, and like the way that my mom would experiment with her pastries, like I would want that to come out in me too. And then also like just thinking about like the phrase that my mom would say, like I feel like it's powerful to like pour in my love into something that is gonna be eaten and like taken in by someone else. And just like giving my love in the form of like a pastry, like is something that inspires me to like, I don't know, like it's nice to know that like people are gonna be eating like the stuff that we bake, and that love is gonna be going directly like mm-hmm. into them.
That's so cute to think about.
Yeah. I want to add that it's just something so like authentic and raw when like creating something. Like I just feel like authenticity is where it really shines. And like, not that we're doing it for other people to get their attention or their love, but like it's just so like nice being able to create something that is true to you and like mm-hmm. authentic to yourself, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I definitely get that feeling. The reason I like starting a business, like it's very similar, where I want to create something that is going to help people mm-hmm. and I want it to kind of have my own flair to mm-hmm. it, right? And not have restrictions on my creativity. And that's so interesting to hear kind of where your passion comes from. It seems like it's a lot from your family, and it's really rooted in with you guys. So
yeah,
thank you so much for sharing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you, Ariana? I know you, when we talked about kind of business ideas that you had, you have a lot of them.
Yeah, I'm kind of messy.
I think that's kind of what an entrepreneur is. Like for me, I have a lot of projects going on all at once. And it's really about learning how to manage your time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's always, I think that's kind of the kind of core of an entrepreneur, where you just have so many ideas, so many things that you want to do. It's just a question of how you're going to get them done.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, for me, I have a lot of ideas, but deep down, I really want to open up also kind of like restaurant. Well, yeah, like food, kind of go into the food industry as well. Yeah. But I definitely want to open up a jazz bar. And I kind of imagine it being kind of like a coffee shop in the daytime and then mm-hmm. kind of like a cocktail bar in the night, you know. So I want it to be like a place where it's like kind of multifaceted, like you can go there for anything basically. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I also want something unique that I've never experienced, at least here in Sacramento. So yeah, I think it'll be interesting.
Yeah, no, I think that's a really good idea. And where did the idea come from?
It came from probably TV. Like yeah. Sometimes I'll watch like certain scenes and it just looks so glamorous and pretty and I'm like, gosh, like where is that? You know, where can mm-hmm. you find that out here? And also just, you know, like I think also just wanting to find like a physical outlet for a place where you can feel comfortable enough to, you know, enjoy all the things you like. Because, like, out here, it's like you either have one or the other, really. Like, you don't really find places like that out here. So it's good to kind of have, like, a creative outlet for everyone to kind of just, like, wallow in. It's kind of, like, mm-hmm. how I like to think about it.
I think it's really cool that it's going to be, like, a jazz bar. Like, I feel like I've always wanted to go to, like, a jazz, like, concert, a jazz, like, performance, or, like, a jazz club. I don't know. Yeah. But, like, the fact that it's going to be, like, a jazz bar, like, I feel like it will really, like, add, like a certain uniqueness to, like, the coffee mm-hmm. shop experience or even, like, and then at night it's, like, a, like, bar, you know?
Yeah, because I value ambiance and I value music and mm-hmm. good food. So, like, I think those are, like, the three things of happiness. Yeah. And, like, just to combine all of that together, I think it'll be really nice. And it doesn't really need to focus on one theme. Like, I think just focusing on the theme of art and really finding, like, art and everything mm-hmm. and combining it into a little tiny cocktail. I think it's nice.
Yeah, so. Definitely. And I'm sure both of your guys' businesses will do very well.
Yeah.
So I heard a lot about creativity. So what are some methods that you guys have, or you girls, I see, keep saying guys, right? Technically, you girls have that.
What's up?
Yeah, what's up, dude? That y'all have that is a method that works for you to kind of get into that creative space. And everyone kind of has their own way of getting into it, and there's different ways to. Maybe you don't know it, but if you recall, maybe there's one or two things that might stand out.
I think for me, it always came so naturally because, I grew up in a family that valued the creative output, really. Because mm-hmm. for me, like, my family, everyone in my family is an entrepreneur. Like, we don't really believe in, like, serving or working for other people because, like, you know, at the end of the day, your life is your own, really. You mm-hmm. own that, you know? Mm-hmm. So, like, really, it's just always been a thing for me to really, kind of like what you guys said, really open up your mind and be mm-hmm. open to that creative flow. Mm-hmm. I like the way you said that. and so, yeah, it always came really naturally to me. And, like, I always was interested in a lot of, like, the liberal arts, really, ever since I was little. And then as I grew older, I had role models, not only for my family, but also, like, media, too. And you learn about people's lives and how they're so similar to yours sometimes. Mm-hmm. And you can pick up on little things along the way of the way people really make it in life. And, those are the things you hold on to really keep you going. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you recall maybe, like, for me, how I get in a creative process is I'll write stuff down. I'll mm-hmm. usually write tasks that I have to do.
Okay.
And then I forget about it completely. And I trust that my subconscious will kind of eventually bring the answer up.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll always write questions or statements and then see kind of how that is brought up. I think it's really hard for creativity to get forced.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it happens naturally, but sometimes you are in spaces where you kind of have to think of stuff. And
yeah,
I don't know if maybe you guys think of going on a run after maybe you get like writer's block, or if you're making a PowerPoint slide for school, you know. So I don't know if you guys have any other maybe like techniques or anything like that, that maybe people that have a hard time getting into a space like that, since it seems like we're all pretty creative and naturally, so it might be hard to find those little things that maybe stand out when you think of how you get those ideas to come in.
I think I'm trying to think of like tips, I guess, but I know that it's like different for everyone.
It is.
Yeah, but I think like one thing that comes to mind every time, like in the past where I would like get into my creative flow, I think like something that's really important is like being by yourself and like really just like separating yourself from like everyone else, like mm-hmm. all of like your relationships, and not like pushing people away, but just like allowing yourself to have that space to let the creativity flow. And I think it's like I know that like whenever, or like I've started like since I dance, like I dance, and like normally I would learn from other people, or I would be the one to have to like teach like the club that I was in, or like, yeah, but like I wanted to start getting into like freestyling more and like allowing my body to like create moves like on the spot, I guess. And so what I would do is I would like go on a walk outside like just by myself, and like I think like being in nature too, or like just being like alone and just like surrounded by like nature, I was able to like connect with myself more. Mm-hmm. And that was just like personal to me, but then also like just like getting yourself alone and like with your own thoughts, and like even like even if you just want to like write out your own ideas, like really just like allowing yourself to like let everything out, and like you can even write it, and like I feel like creativity just comes naturally like that. And it's not like some people, or I feel like I've been practicing creativity like for all of my life, or like I've been like in like my kindergarten classes, like I literally remember like painting like just like blobs, and then my parents would tell me like, oh my god, like that's abstract art. and then it like kind of gave me like motivation to like keep painting. But it's really like with creativity, like if you're not that like in touch with it, I think just like practicing it in any form, like even in just like allowing yourself to like write every single like thought that comes to your mind, or allowing yourself to draw whatever comes to your mind. It doesn't have to be like Picasso, or like it doesn't have to be like anything like super like intricate. Like as long as you're like able to allow yourself to flow, like just for like a little bit of time, and just like staying consistent with that or prioritizing it, like even if it's just for like 30 minutes, like it will eventually build up and like allow yourself to like allow your creativity to flow even more, and allow more ideas to come into mind, and allow yourself to like believe that like you're able to create those ideas that like come out of you, you know. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it too is just like letting yourself do it. Like a lot of times you're just like, oh, I want to do this, I want to create this, but then it's just like you think like, oh, I can't do that because X, Y, and Z, or oh, like maybe I shouldn't do that today because it would take too much time. Like no, like allow yourself to create, allow yourself to flow, and like it might take time for you to get to like where you envision yourself to be, but like as long as you practice the act of like creating like just a little bit like each day, like it will like allow you to create even more in the future, I think.
Practice makes perfect.
Yeah, I definitely got from that creativity really comes from just exposing yourselves to different mediums of mm-hmm. art or creativity. Mm-hmm. So it seems like, at least in your example, that you did art at a really young age, and then you've also been able to find a different outlet of art through dancing, Mm-hmm. And also, I think getting in a business mindset, I think, is a kind of an art of its own. Mm-hmm. And being able to just kind of reinforcing that muscle in your brain of just repetitions of being able to put yourself in maybe uncomfortable positions where you don't know exactly what to come up with or how to draw or how to paint. How am I going to do this? But I think just doing it is going to help a lot. And then I heard a lot about getting yourself out of nature. I mean, there's a lot of studies that like helps being in nature just helps you so much because we're in a world where everything is trying to grab your attention. I mean, that's why I deleted, you know, Instagram because I'm on there and it was like 3 hours. I'm like, what am I doing? You know, three plus hours. And definitely replacing that time where you're in the natural elements too, where you notice that you're so much smaller than than what your ego makes you seem to be, I think is such an important aspect to also hold on. And I think when you are kind of in those raw elements, it does help kind of create an outflow of creativity because you don't have so many things trying to grab your attention all the time.
I think it's also a part of it is looking at the world kind of through this filter of creativity, really, because it's everywhere, you know? And like, if you're ever feeling like you're not getting the good amount of like your creative output, like go walk into a library, a museum, like go on a road trip and like look outside and like go dive into a culture. Like there's so much you could be inspired from, really. It's all about kind of disconnecting from this, for me at least, it's all about disconnecting from this like idea of perfection and what's really good enough and just being like, you know, it is what it is. Like at the end of the day, the things we do is because it makes us feel good, you know? And that's how it should be, really. Like if it's what makes you happy, it shouldn't have to come to what's good enough for everyone else or what's perfect enough, you know?
Yeah. I think you definitely touched a lot of great points there where if you're a perfectionist, you're never going to get anything done. You're not even going to want to put the pen on the paper, you know, because you're so in your head about having to have something so perfect. You're never going to create anything. And how are you going to learn, right? If you're trying to, if we kind of have this model set up where we heard of trying to find different creativity spaces in creativity where you're able to let yourself go and do stuff. But if you're so rigid in your ways of what an ideal is in your mind, how are you going to actually implement those? And then I really like how you mentioned about looking at the world in a different lens or filter. I mean, these are literally called biases. And there's this podcast that I listen to called Andrew Huberman or Dr. Andrew Huberman. And he's a neuroscientist. And it talks about how we literally look in at the world in these different lenses. And really it comes from how we the things that we say to ourselves, because sarcasm doesn't really like our brain doesn't understand sarcasm, you know, it's kind of a lizard brain. So it just kind of takes any input, anything that you say about yourself, I'm not creative, you know, even though you're kidding, it's going to hold some value to it, whether you like it or not. And being able to create these different biases or filters. And we talked about this before. I remember we were sitting outside, Sianna and Rihanna, where you are like we're sitting and I was like, right now we're having a conversation and our mind has so many things going on. And you probably didn't notice this sound. Do you remember that when I pointed that out? So it's the same thing. So our mind, there's so much information coming in through something called modality. So which is our five senses, it's a really fancy word. And through these different filters that we have, we're able to filter out information and hold on to these narratives that we have in our lives. Like for example, we're in a podcast setting, so probably a lot of sound. Maybe if you're looking at nonverbal communication too, it's going to be a part of the play of what's going on around us. So there's these different filters that you can use, and being able to kind of create these little plug-in biases or narratives that you tell yourself in certain aspects are really going to help you be able to get into different positions. So like, for example, in creativity, kind of creating that little plug-in where you have this way of thinking and you maybe filter out some things, maybe negative thoughts, and how you do that is it might be a different podcast. And really just being able to, I think, absorb a lot, because I think for creativity, there is so many things that we do filter. Our mind does really want to filter a lot of them because we're so kind of like, oh, I need to get A, B, C done, and then I have a final, and then I have this, and then I have a business to run, that you really forget about the really tiny things, which the things that are going on in the background, which your subconscious is taking whether you like it or not. And instead of being able to bring those up to the to your consciousness and be able to kind of surface those ideas into creating something that you can put on a piece of paper or be able to write down or do a movement of an expression through your body, it's really important to recognize these biases or these narratives that we have and how we filter information to really figure out maybe if you're in a writer's block or something of how to let that creativity go out.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's like a lot of us hold on to the limits that others place on us or that the world places on us.
Mm.
And it's like they're not conscious that they're holding on to these limits, or they're not conscious that they're even limits. And really it's just like narratives you tell yourself that limit like your passions and limit what you think you can do. And it's like once you realize that there doesn't have to be a limit, or that there doesn't have to be a perfect goal, or like even if you just like create, like it doesn't have to be like a specific outcome for it to be good. Like you're able to let like yourself create, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Also, I like to see it like, well, if you have a certain goal, it's probably there for a reason.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It's probably eating at you for a reason, you know?
Yeah.
So it might as well just do it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, and see if it works out or not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of the thing of don't be a perfectionist, just go out there and if you fail, I think that's a good thing. I think failing is a good thing, because I've failed a lot.
Yeah.
and I've definitely, the thing is I've been able to recognize that and learn from it, and like this morning I went to jiu-jitsu and I keep getting my ass kicked, you know, and it's because there's these certain ways and techniques of how you're moving your body and be able to recognize that if, you know, it's kind of a reaction to someone's already predetermined reaction or action reaction and being able to kind of get in the space. But it's so hard to really do that, you know, and I liked how you mentioned that there's these narratives that kind of sometimes limit yourself to be able to really fully capitalize on your potential that you have. And these also come around from different ways that your mind takes these. You tend to have a bias of how you tend to pay attention in the world. Most people are visual. Some people are auditory. An easy way to find out is that when you ask someone, you know, picture me your favorite, like, vacation, and how was it, and what were your favorite experiences about it? The way that they're going to frame that is definitely going to lean towards a certain bias. It could be like, I really liked, you know, feeling my feet in the sand. Okay, you're very kinesthetic, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Or I really love the smell of the ocean and the feel of the breeze in my hair. So maybe it's a combination of both, right? So it's not just smell, but it's also auditory as well, right? And these ways also come into how your brain limits yourself.
Mm-hmm.
So when you have, there's maybe an image in your, well, there's five different senses, right? So maybe for me, an image comes into my mind maybe when I want to create something. And it might be, it's usually of a past experience that you had. And it'll be something in the real world that'll trigger that. And then that will cause you to not want to do something. But really recognizing maybe a certain sound, or maybe something that your parents told you when you were younger, or an image that comes to mind. Like, for example, for procrastination, I'll give you this example. So for me, I hate going to the gym. It's something that I hate to do, but I have to, just because I think it's really important, and if it's really good for like thinking as well and for your brain. So that's why I do it, even though I just suck it up. But I have this image in my mind about going to the gym of a gym rat. And so it's this rat in this little like hamster wheel, and he's like all juiced up. It has like the little like bottle, and like that's like steroids or something. And it's just like running in this little circle. And I'm like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be that guy. You know, like I'm just going in the same loop of life. I'm like, instead of like I just want to push the thing over, right? The hamster wheel over, and then go do whatever I want to do, right? So sometimes I have to recognize that that image comes up on my mind, and I don't know where it came from, but it would be a good idea to find out because it would help me a lot more. And recognizing that there's this way that how your brain works, and if you're able to really monopolize on that, or capitalize on that, you are definitely going to be able to create a lot of changes that maybe your past events might have inhibited you on.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I also don't think it's necessarily past events. I think it's also, for some people, it could also just be the future because it is so unknown. And, you know, we hear conspiracies and we hear about how quickly the world is changing and also just all the messed up stuff in the world. And it's kind of discouraging because it's like what kind of contribution can I give back, you know, especially when the world I envision for myself is so different than, or could be so different than the reality I'm going to live in with other people, you know? So that's another thing too.
I want to say that, like, I feel like trust is also like a part of it because I feel like all the limits and the noise, the outside noise, and the narratives that people put on you, it kind of alters like the trust that you have for yourself and like where, like trusting that you can take yourself somewhere where you want to be and take yourself to your goals and like your dreams. And so I feel like learning how to filter in that, like what you learned and filter out the noise and those limits or those subconscious limits that you or other people put on you, like that will help you like get to where you want to be, because I feel like that's such a small thing, but also it's like it's such a big thing to trust yourself and know that your mind or your creativity will carry and deliver you like what you actually want. And like filtering out like the limits can like help you be in that creative mind, but like also like your creativity or like what you make doesn't have to be like something like anything, like it doesn't have to be like it's different for everybody, like everybody can create something and it can be ugly to somebody but like beautiful to somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like as long as you are making something and being authentic to yourself and listening to your mind and not to other people that may like change what you view or how you view things, like I feel like that'll help you like go to where you want to be, where you want to be, you know, like just trusting yourself and like trusting that you will deliver, trusting that your body and your mind will like get you somewhere, you know?
Yeah.
I think like I feel like it's very important to just be open, to just like allow yourself to be open, because like, and that's why I mentioned like going on like a walk or like writing out all your thoughts, because even if you're not someone who normally allows your creativity to flow, like just like maybe like journaling or just like writing everything out, like you're able to see the limits that you place on yourself. You're able to like see that like, hey, I've been like limiting myself. I've been telling myself that I'm not creative or that I'm not able to do this and that. And it's like, it's important to like be open and trusting yourself with how open you are. And once like, so like, even if like you like write out like your thoughts like every day or something, like I feel like that will like be important for creativity, because being like being creative is just being open. Like it's allowing yourself to like be authentic. And I feel like that's what creativity really is, and that's why it's special and unique to everyone, because it's like you're being open from yourself and it's like different for everyone, and you have to trust yourself with the things that you create, and like that requires to like be vulnerable with yourself and like accept who you are and also just like
accept who you're becoming and allow yourself to be open to the new possibilities that that are open to you.
Yeah, definitely. When you were saying that, the word that came to my mind was also vulnerability, where you have to be open with the idea that people might not like your ideas. And with the noise going on and stuff, you might be not inclined to want to put it out there, you know? Mm-hmm. Like what you were saying, Rihanna, you know, being able to filter out things that might inhibit those key things to be able to actually be vulnerable with yourself, like what Sianna was saying, and put something out there. And it doesn't matter who likes it or not, but there's going to be definitely a small group of people. And by small, like a small means pretty big, you know, like aviation is a small industry, but there's a lot of people in it. Or you can find a special like niche that you're in, and there's going to be a lot of other people that will follow and like what you're doing. But something for like filtering, like I don't follow the news at all. I hate it because I remember I was in Florida and I was with my grandparents, and they would watch a lot of news about what's going on in Mexico because they're from Mexico originally. Mm-hmm. And they would always just like, my grandpa would always kind of turn like sour. He's like, come on, man. And he's such a nice guy. Like he is so kind-hearted, always looks out for people, always helps others. But it's like in that moment, like you're letting something kind of take over you and allow negativity go into your space. And like same thing goes with friends. Like if I know friends that are pretty negative, I hate to say it, but I'll cut you off. Like and any kind of emotion is so, or any kind of energy really, is just so infectious. What I've noticed, just kind of going on in my humble 21 years of life, but it really comes, I always will like look at my friends and then reflect on like, I'm probably like them, you know? So why would I want to be in a space where people are pushing each other down, where I need to be in a space where ideas and creativity is really loved and encouraged? To really build these things that you want to do, which I think kind of wraps around into business. Because I think that for me, my filter or bias that I use is I think business is kind of like an art. Mm-hmm. Where you really have to be so true to yourself and know who you are and be able to express that in ways that maybe other people don't agree with. And then being able to learn the art of working with other people, and that people have different thoughts and emotions, just like what we learned in class. There's like a hierarchy of things that employees need, and those are going to affect a lot about how the emotions of someone is doing. And if you don't know exactly where someone is in that stage of the, does anyone remember that pyramid that we?
Maslow's hierarchy. Yeah, Maslow's.
Thank you. Yes. I don't either. But If you kind of recognize where people are in different stages, it becomes an art at being able to find out how can I help this guy's needs so that it overall helps the better of the betterment as a whole to the business. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah. I wanted to ask, what are some things that, like some key takeaway lessons that you learn in business that you guys hold on to that might have changed a different way of how you look at things? And because I think like in that class, it was more than just giving out information. I think it was something where I felt like I was able to apply a lot of it in my life too, if not I was already, and just reinforce the idea of, whoa, it's in a textbook, you know, I'm not just batshit crazy, you know, like there's actual people that gone through this stuff and how I think isn't crazy. Because I think when it comes to business, it's really hard to find people with the same mindset. I'm really lucky to found you guys in business class, and I'm also really lucky to find my business partner that I have for my vending machine business going on. But it's like so rare to find other people that are in that space. That was kind of a tangent. But if there's anything that you guys have learned that you guys were able to apply to your life, What do you think one of those things would have been?
I think going back to like the beginning of the podcast where y'all were talking about the brand that you carry, like you're your own brand. I think that's one of the things that I never really like put it in that perspective, I guess, or in that way. And so I guess like learning about that, I'm like, oh yeah, so like I can't just be doing like anything. Like I need to be more, not need to be, but I was like, I should be more intentional with what I do. And sometimes I'm not, like I'm just doing whatever, just to do whatever. And I'm like that's okay too. But sometimes I'm like, oh, but like my brand is like what I put out, what people will see, and not to be like, oh, people are going to perceive me in a specific, I want people to perceive me in a specific way. Just like being more intentional with who I want to be and like putting that more in the forefront of my mind, and like knowing that like every day, like I can do things that will like get me to where I want to be, and I just have to be more intentional about it. Mm. Yeah.
I agree with that. That really stuck with me too. And because at the end of the day, like your brand is what it's the thing that I'm trying to say, like your creativity already holds value, but that's what kind of sets it and presents it to the whole world as a valuable mm-hmm. thing. Mm-hmm. So you could be doing all this stuff just for fun, or, you know, just 'cause. But at the end of the day, like someone's going to recognize it, and, you know, you want to have like a good impression on people. And yeah, I was thinking another thing that came to mind, but I forgot.
Oh, no worries. If you come up with it, yeah. Please feel free to share that.
No, I agree with both of you all. Like, I feel like, wow, my mind just went blank for a second. The flow is not flowing. Let me be open with myself. Okay, I feel like, shit.
I remember mine.
Okay, go.
I like how Professor would always say, stay hungry, and also like recognize when people need something or there's a lack of something, that's the best time to go for it. And I like the way he really created that image, because like that's how it is for me. I mean, we're all consumers as well, you know. And like, you know, if you feel like there's something that you wish the world had, then you should create it, you know, like yeah. you should mm-hmm. go for it. And be the one to put that out there. And you'll realize so many other people are like, oh my gosh, like, thank God this exists now, you know? So I think that's also really, like, encouraging to know that there's probably someone who relates or agrees to your idea or your, like, your goals. So. Mm-hmm.
I remembered the thing I was gonna say. Okay. But, yeah, I think, like, I hold on to this belief that, 'cause in the future there's so much unknown. Like even if you do have a goal, like there's still so much like unknown. And I feel like the future is not really real. Like the past is like not really real, 'cause all we have is the present moment. And so being intentional with who you know you want to be and who like who you envision yourself to be, like that can only be made by like who you are now, you know, mm-hmm. like that can only be made by like with what steps you're taking now, with how intentional you're being with what you say and the actions that you're like doing or what you're creating or how you're allowing yourself to flow or how like it's all like the future is created by who you are now. So it's like your brand in the future is like if you're not taking care of your brand now, your brand in the future won't be taken care of, and your mm-hmm. brand in the future won't be what you want it to be, because you wouldn't have been like taking care of it in the present moment. And so I think when Professor would always say like to take care of like your brand and that you're your own brand, it's because like the present moment and who you are now is how you're gonna like be in the future. And like it's not that like
you're going to be the same person in the future. It's that you're creating who you are going to be in the future. And yeah, and I also think that like in business class, like I learned to like really find comfort in the uncomfortable, because mm-hmm. like I remember when like the beginning of like the semester when he was like, oh yeah, there's going to be warm calls and like cold calls, and like you're gonna have to present about like this certain topic, I was so like, I felt so like nervous. I was like, shit, like, oh, I don't know, I should be cussing.
No, you can cuss.
I was like damn, like I don't know, like because I normally get like I would get nervous in the past before, like if I would like, even if I'm just like raising my hand in the classroom, or you know, like I would get nervous to do that, and like I could feel like my heart beating whenever I know that I have something to say, but then I'm just like, should I like raise my hand? Should I like even like say it, you know? And I feel like purposely putting yourself in uncomfortable situations will like you'll be able to like become more familiar with it, because mm-hmm. life is gonna show up with uncomfortable situations and you're just gonna have to deal with it. So being able to like know that you can find some kind of comfort, like even if like you're not gonna like you're not gonna know like what every uncomfortable situation that you're gonna experience in life is, but like knowing that you can deal with like some sort of like discomfort,
yeah,
it's like, and because like you're able to like push yourself out of that comfort zone to like to do that, but like you're able to do that yourself, I think that when life shows up in ways that like it's unexpected, which it always will be, you're able to like deal with it in the most authentic way.
Yeah, to add on to what you just said, like I really like how he would say like right here, right now is like where you can practice for like all of the stuff that could mm-hmm. happen in the future. And like sometimes like well, most of the time, like failure is the opportunity of growth.
Yeah,
so like it's good to just, you know, it's okay if you mess up, because one day there could be a huge curveball thrown at you and mm-hmm. you'll be like, hey, I went through this before. I know what yeah. to do. Like, it's chill, you know?
Yeah.
So it's all about getting, like you said, comfortable, like with the uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And something that I learned, well, I learned a lot of stuff. I guess I'll just shoot them out there. I guess the idea of the people that, like, the more the risk, the more you'll get out of it, in a way.
Mm-hmm.
It's just how much you're willing to lose. I really liked that idea of, like, that's kind of what separates a lot of people from wanting to start a business or not, which is totally fine. But I think I think that idea also, like, exhilarates me a lot, of being able to think, like, I have to, like, burn the ships and just go for it. And know that I will be rewarded if I take a risk.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked that a lot. I also learned I guess I got more comfortable with asking questions or saying stuff.
Because
mm-hmm. when I was in high school, I was also like a straight like C student. I didn't really care about, you know, school. But I definitely had other stuff that I really cared about. But kind of taking advantage of the space that I'm in, because I'm there anyways for like an hour. So I might as well take advantage of it, and
mm-hmm.
not feeling like I'm gonna be like a nerd if like I ask questions. And I definitely felt like I gained a lot by kind of just saying stuff or asking questions that definitely helped my understanding.
Mm-hmm.
I liked how you said about putting yourself in uncomfortable positions. You're more likely to handle situations better if you put yourself in uncomfortable situations. Mm-hmm. So I hate the cold. I loved Florida because it was not that. And I started this is my third or fourth month of taking cold showers.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It sucks. I hate it. But I feel like I'm able to have more confidence throughout the day and do other things that I'm not willing to do. Waking up at 5:30 in the morning, I hate it. It sucks. I'm like sleepy when they're trying to teach me a move in jiu-jitsu. And they're like, dude, what are you doing, bro? Stop being like a limp noodle. I'm like, dude, like, I'm just so tired, you know? But just like putting yourself in situations where you don't want to be there. I do want to be in jujitsu, but it's just, I hate waking up at that time. And there's research that supports that. So that's a good good thing to point out.
Yeah. I was just going to say that. It just honestly makes you, like, mentally stronger.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you're able to believe that you can handle things that, like, you handled before, even if it was uncomfortable, like, I feel like your mind, like, will let you know, like, yeah, I can do this. I've done this before, you know?
Yeah.
What you said.
And, like, honestly, like, I've been, like, taking cold showers, too. And it's, like, whenever I take cold showers, like, I know there's a whole lot of other benefits, but then I'm always, like, thinking, like, okay, this is, like, really cold for my body. And, like, whenever the cold, like, water hits me, like, I know, like, my body is, like, hella tense and shit. And then I just, like, remember, like, okay, like, I can try to be, like, calm under, like, this situation where I'm normally tense, you know? And I feel like with that mindset, I'm always, like, okay, well, if there's any, like, situation that does arise where I'm just, I'm like tense, or like I would be tense, or like I would respond out of my tenseness. Like, I think if I'm able to be calm, or if I'm able to practice being calm under stressful situations, I'm able to think more clearly and like be more authentic in like the choices I make or the responses I give.
I'm so happy that you mentioned that, because when I get hit with water, I'm like, fuck, you know, like and then I remember, I'm like, breathe, just breathe.
Yeah.
And then I can feel my heart rate getting slower and slower. And I practice that. I practice getting my heart rate at a slower tempo, because in the beginning it's like, a really cool study is they had a monk and an average guy, like practice meditation as a monk and a whole bunch of other practices that they have. And this other guy just a normal guy. They had him walk through like, you know, like, have you seen when they walk through those coals of fire and they like walk through it?
Mm-hmm.
So they hooked up a whole bunch of wires to them. And what they saw is that the average guy that walked on the coals, their pre-anticipation of stress was shown on a chart. And then you can see that come with the actual stepping on the coals, as opposed to the monk, where when they before he stepped on the coals, there was no level of like nervousness, anxiety, and then it obviously started to go up, you know, when his body felt heat on his feet. But it's really interesting to think about, like, you get in your head,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's really the difference of being able to take it and just walk on mm-hmm. the coals, as opposed to being like, oh fuck, I gotta get off this thing, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So it's really interesting about how you're able to get yourself in uncomfortable situations to practice to not try to create this crazy monster in your head about, oh, I can't be creative, right? Or I can't start this thing, as opposed to just getting into it and start the process.
Yeah. I think it's really important, because it's like, to know that like I feel like fear is always gonna be there, but it's how, like, if you're like, are you gonna listen to that fear, you know? Like, if you're able, like, fear, like, don't get me wrong, whenever I raise my hand in class, like, I know that there's like a little bit of me that's like scared, or like I can feel my heart beating, but I'm just like, okay, what can I do now to like show that fear is not going to take over me? And even if it's just like a small step of like actually raising my hand and speaking up, like, that's gonna like build up in the future, you know, where you're able to see that there's fear in you, or like feel it and then be like, you know what, like, fuck you, I'm not gonna listen to you, I'm just gonna do what I want to do, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I feel like it takes practice, and it's, you don't have to like be perfect. Like, as long as you're like, you know, you're aware that there's like fear, and you're aware that you're like, maybe I should try something different, or like maybe I shouldn't like listen to fear, like it's gonna help you in the future. Again, it's like this like present moment is all you have. So if you're practicing like not listening to the fear now, like you'll be able to do it like in the future with more strength, I guess.
Yeah. Something that you said earlier and kind of repeated now, what I wanted to say is the habits of today create the future of tomorrow. So mm-hmm. You're right. There is no past, really. It's kind of in your head. In the future, it doesn't exist. So basically, it's what you do today that's really going to determine how you're going to be like, if there is a future tomorrow, right? But if you die today, you might as well be habits that you be proud of, you know, mm-hmm. and have the way the world will remember you as. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there any, for any people that are listening there, if you had a piece of advice for someone that wants to get into business or wants to get into a creative outlet or space and maybe isn't really sure if they want to do it, maybe they're scared, what's one piece of advice that you would give to them?
I think I would say to really just listen to yourself. Like, even if there's a part of you that, like, if there's a part of you that wants to, like, pursue business or even just, like, try it out, like, listen to that part of you and try it out. And if it's something that, like, you end up not liking, or, like, you end up being, like, okay, like, this is not something that I want to do, then, like, listen to that part of yourself, too, and, like, direct yourself to, like, something that's more authentic to who you are. Because I feel like, a lot of the times, like, there's, like, so much stuff going on outside of us that it's, like, hard to listen to ourselves. And we don't even know that it's hard to listen to ourselves. But it's, like, you're operating out of, like, what you've previously learned or what others have taught you, you know. But it's, like, there's so much inside of you that, like, you can listen to and that you can navigate through. And I feel like everyone's, like, no one has it, like, perfectly down, like, I feel like the more you're able to spend time with yourself, the more you're able to, like, know who you are and, like, learn who you are, that's when you'll, like, be able to kind of, like, go for what you want. And it might be messy, or it might be, like, it's not going to be, like, a linear, like, path, you know. It's going to be, like, a lot of different opportunities popping up, and you're going to, like, take the ones that feel most authentic to you. But I feel like the more you're in tune with, like, what you want and who you are, like, you're able to navigate through all of that messiness.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is there anything you guys like to share?
I think it's just keeping in mind that there's no right or wrong path to take. Mm-hmm. And no matter the mistakes, there's always going to be something good to look forward to. Mm-hmm. And just, just like I said, like, be true to yourself. And really, like, if you know what you want and you're certain in that, just do it. Like, the whole point of life is just to experience shit and just, you know, figure out what it is you want to do. So you got to start somewhere.
Yeah. So. Mm-hmm. Before Rihanna speaks, I also want to say, like, it's not like you're going to, like, know, like, exactly who you are. Like, when, like, I feel like, some people might take this as, like, oh, like, how are you supposed to know who you are? How are you supposed to be true to yourself, like, if you don't even know who you are? And that's why it's, like, important to spend time with yourself. It's important to, like, learn who you are and who you want to be. Because a lot of who we are, if you're unaware, is, like, it's just, like, what we've learned in our past, or, like, what we've experienced or seen other people live as. So it's, like, if you're able to, like, listen to yourself and, like, know, like, figure out who you are, which is, like, what life is all about, like, figuring out and exploring and experiencing, like what Ariana said, like, it's, like, you're gonna be able to, like, make choices in like the present moment that reflect who you want to be.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I like that.
I like that as well.
Yes.
I like what all of y'all have said. I think just like asking yourself, like, do you really, like, do you want to grow? Because like uncomfortability is like how you grow. Like putting yourself outside of your comfort zone is how you, like, you experience and explore what you really want. And like taking what like both of y'all said, like, yeah, like you have to listen to like who you want to be. And like everyone is still like navigating through that. So just experiencing and in the moment and being like thinking that like these uncomfortable situations will always like take you somewhere, or you'll always learn from something. Mm-hmm. Or you'll always learn from like from just experiencing. So like, and there's so much to learn, like there's so much knowledge in the world, and you'll never like know everything. So putting yourself outside of your comfort zone, you'll be able to like gain some new knowledge, or like be able to learn something about yourself too. And I feel like that's how you grow. And like fear, yeah, like what Siana said, fear will always be here. So just being able to like push yourself outside your comfort zone is how you'll get like somewhere in life, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely think everybody here has said very good things, and hopefully whoever's listening can maybe start taking those steps to want to ask questions to yourself and get to know yourself better. Mm-hmm. And realize that you don't have forever, and you might as well do something that you love.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So with that, I think it's a good time to wrap up the podcast. You guys have been lovely guests. Thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you for bringing us on.
Nice.
Yeah. So this has been the From Ground to Great show, with your host, Daniel Ruiz Jimenez, signing out.